Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
I invite you to come grab a seat. Welcome. Great to have you here. Folks will be coming in with their coffee and tea. I'm what's standing between us and a barbecue, so I know I'm on. Whew. And let's conclude in prayer. No. Well, let's begin together. The past couple months, we've been journeying through the series "I Am, We Are." It's about Jesus's "I Am" statements recorded in the Gospel of John, and it's been quite a journey hearing from multiple voices, diving into John sharing who Jesus is. Jesus sharing who Jesus is, changing the way we think and see him and draw close to him, which is really, really good. You may have joined us for each sermon. Bonus points if you do. You get your star on your way out. This may be your first Sunday here with us. Either way, whether you're being introduced to it or reminded, we're going to spend some of our time today. We're going to reflect on what that series has been like, where we go from here. And then also we're going to hear from a couple people in our community share a little bit of their story and reflection on this series. And so we want to give some time for that near the end. Then it's barbecue time. I promise. A lot's probably happened in the last couple months in your life, in our lives, in our world. We've probably had moments of joy and adventure in the many places we've been, made new memories. We might have also experienced sadness or loss or pain in the last couple months as we think about our own individual situations and lives, but also our world, wildfires and injustice and war. There's sadness and loss there. You might have learned new things. I learned why chameleons change color on a random kid's podcast while we're driving. That's a whole nother conversation. You might have celebrated a milestone, gotten older, felt older. You might have made new relationships. You may have strained some other relationships. Or this summer may have felt pretty lonely, and that's a whole journey of itself. A lot of things can happen in our summer rhythms, but however you're showing up today, we're glad you're here. We're glad you're here. Let's hold space for one another. This past summer, we spent a lot of time camping, Chris and I and our kids, and we love to do that each summer. And I'm told that I like to think about how things go, but I'm told that I overanalyze how things work, which campsite we get and how close it is to the trails, to the river, to the lake, to the bathrooms, all of those things. I just stare at a map and see which one we hope to get. What gear we need, how it's packed, how the weight distribution works out. Yeah, some of you know what I'm talking about. Even the best and most effective way to clean your septic tank of your trailer. It's important stuff, but I tend to just dwell and think, okay, if I do it this way and this way and this way, then that'll be perfect, and it never works. You might find yourself, like me, sometimes just standing and staring, over-analyzing. I like to gain as much head knowledge as possible. Some of you are nodding your head. I want to know about something. But then we get there, and then you get to know it by experience. And you get to see how the sunset coats the trees. You get to see how the sun just glistens on every branch as you look out at the nature around you. You get to hear and smell different things. You get to hear the chipmunks, the birds. You get to smell the morning crisp air or the septic tank. You get to smell it all, good or bad. If you've studied Google Maps, you know about the lake you're going to be around. But then you dip your toes in it. Then you snorkel in it and swim in it, and you get to experience the sheer beauty it is of the lake around you. You know about the lake, but then you get to experience the lake. Has there been moments in your life when you've known about Jesus, you've known something about Jesus, but then that changes to where you experience something that you'll never forget about Jesus through his Holy Spirit? And that's where we're going to go today. I'm curious that as we've been discovering who Jesus says he is, that we can allow our ever-changing being, even in summer rhythms, that we can allow us to be deepened, to we can have this head knowledge, but we can allow that to go into our hearts, that we get to experience Jesus in our joy, but also through our pain, we get to experience him showing us his love. We get to call on the Holy Spirit as our counselor, as our comforter, the Spirit of truth. And we get to experience him as our helper. John begins his gospel. A lot of these statements that we're going to talk about, the seven statements, are in the Gospel of John. But first, in chapter 1, he says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." This is Jesus. This is who he says he is. And his dwelling place among us is how we get to experience him. Knowing about God as people for decades and years and centuries have seen him throughout Scripture, but touching the holes in Jesus' hand after he was crucified, or for us, have the Holy Spirit impress something on our hearts. That's an experience that we never forget. May get to know about the peace, but then you get to see Jesus calm storms. And then for us, we get to experience peace that legitimately passes all reasoning and understanding. We first get to know about the concept of unconditional love, but then we see Jesus embrace a tax collector. Or for us, we might see Jesus embrace a long-lost family member. We might first know the concept of healing, but then you see Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. Or for us, we might experience chronic pain being completely healed. This is the Word becoming flesh. And this is the Spirit making a dwelling place among us. So these seven statements are going to be on the screen behind me as you review. These have been heard from the searching, those that are needing and hurting in that time, as John writes, as Jesus shares. They're heard by the skeptic. They're heard by the close ones, the disciples. And today they're heard by us. And how will we receive? How will we move forward? Because Jesus is transforming the way people perceive salvation. It's not this distant God that needs a ritualized relationship, but this is personal. The I Am is full of grace and truth. He's the total provider of life-giving breath, the sustainer. So we looked at the statements, "I am the bread of life," as John records in John 6. "Whoever eats this bread will live forever." In John 8, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have the light of life." "I am the gate for the sheep," in John 10. "Whoever enters through me will be saved." "I am the resurrection and the life," in John 11. "Whoever believes in me will live." Even Kyle got to share that God's first response to suffering isn't a fix. It's first his presence. And isn't that a gift? "I am the good shepherd," in John 10. "The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. These are serious, serious statements and serious imagery being used here. These are the necessities of physical life. The breath, nourishment, safety, food, and that's how people are receiving it. There's a protector, a guide, the gate is the way, and people need this direction and protection. Jesus is saying, I am that physically, but do we know the deeper need, the deeper promise of the fullness of Jesus through his Spirit? Rick shared a couple weeks ago, it says it starts with him and not us. This is what Jesus is saying. That I am is about mercy and compassion. The only way to know Jesus is to do what he says and listen to his words. Because this is Jesus. Jesus is God's reputation forever. The dwelling place among us through the Holy Spirit, our helper, our comforter, our advocate, our counselor. John begins recording near the end of his gospel, begins using words that Jesus is saying, I will, he will, you will. Moves from I am to I will. And these are promises that Jesus has. And what might we be invited to do? Well, might we consider the posture of a simple prayer? Welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome, Holy Spirit. That might be a first time you pray this. It might be the 100th. But this is what it means to move from knowledge about Jesus to truly knowing him and inviting the work of the Spirit in our lives. John shares in chapter 14, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. And on that day, you'll realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. This is Jesus being a dwelling place in amongst us. In John 16, Jesus continues to say, I have much more to say to you, more than you can bear, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. This is the Holy Spirit as our comforter, as our guide, as the Spirit of truth. And then we get into Acts 1, the new church birthing. In Acts 1, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and to the ends of the earth. And after he said this, Jesus was taken up before their very eyes. A cloud hid him from their sight. The Word became flesh and now is making a dwelling place among us. Welcome, Holy Spirit. May we know Jesus, not simply that he is the Good Shepherd, but may we know him as our Good Shepherd. May we eat the bread so that we don't go hungry. May we follow him, the light, so that we won't walk in darkness. May we enter the gate so that we'll be saved. May we believe in him and experience resurrection life. One of my favorites, may we draw close to him, our Good Shepherd. May we know him because we will know the Father, the true character of God. And may we remain in Jesus so that we bear much fruit. So the invitation is allow the Holy Spirit to bring this knowledge not just simply to our mind, not just overanalyzing Jesus, but to truly experience him through our Holy Spirit. That way in our joy, in our pain, in our summer rhythms, whatever they've been like for us, the I Am is inviting us to know him and experience him today. How beautiful that journey would be. We're going to hit pause there, and we're going to hear from some folks in our community. So I'm going to invite Peter and Helen to join us up here, and let's welcome them on stage here. Come on up. Here you go, Peter. I think that's on. There you go. Here, Helen. Thanks for being willing to do this crazy thing of talking in front of a lot of people and sharing your story. I appreciate that. And Peter, you've been attending Living Waters for about the last year and a half with your family and been involved with life groups.
That's right.
Yeah, which is really cool. And Helen, you've been attending over 15 years, I think.
Yes.
It's been really cool that as you've been part of English Conversation Club and Willoughby Ministries, thanks for serving and being part of the things that you are. It's great to have you here. A couple questions we just want to start, and I'll start with you, Helen, if that's okay. I'd be curious to know if you'd be willing to share have you ever had these moments where you've known of something about Jesus, you've had the knowledge in your mind, but there was a moment when that began to go to your heart and you begin to experience what you knew about Jesus in your life. I wonder if you would share about that.
Sure. I mean, I've loved God. I accepted Christ into my heart as a teenager, and I went to church and I learned lots about God, and I walked with him. And all that knowledge in my head came to kind of like, okay, this is real. Back in 2003, at that time, something happened in my life and I was left with my 10-year-old and my infant. And suddenly it's like, what now? Who am I? What am I going to do? I was scared. I was terrified. And God sent his Holy Spirit basically to help me through this time. So, everything you knew in your head just settled in my heart, and it was a journey, and God just helped me. I couldn't have done it by myself. I had a wonderful community around me, but it was in those nights of not sleeping and having no words for prayer that I just felt God ministering to me. And when I look back on that, it's been a journey, and you know, the ripple effects from that, and even to the beginning of this year, right? You see new things changing from that. Mm-hmm. So back at that time, Jeremiah was a promise to me that there would be a hope and a future. And I've held on to that promise for all of the years, and I see it coming to fruition now.
Wow, that's beautiful. Even today, even this week, even this past, yeah, God is revealing the things mm-hmm. that you've learned years and years ago and experiencing today. That's really good. Peter, anything to add?
Yes, I think for me, like I would say, the concept of love was something that I needed to take from my head to my heart, and probably had a love deficit. And you know, you would hear that, "Oh, God loves you," and you go, "Oh, okay, great." But then, about 40 years ago, I read a book. It was called The Autobiography of God by a fellow named Lloyd John Ogilvy, and it was about the parables. And there was a chapter on the parable of the prodigal son. And as he was relaying the story, he mentioned that when the father saw the son from afar off, he ran to the son to embrace him. And then the author added the fact that in that culture, old men didn't run. And so the thought of that just grabbed my heart. It just was a game changer for me, and I broke. I'm sure lots of people have heard that before, but for me, it was the first time. And it just really, I saw the love of God, you know, as a revelation, because I always say we need a revelation of God's love. And it needs to be personalized, so it becomes like objective truth becomes your own subjective truth. So that was the first one. The second one was about 30 years ago, and I was living in Japan, and I was driving down the road in a city, approaching an intersection, the red light, and as I was driving, as stopped, I guess, I looked to my left, and before that, though, I'd had a, I was thinking, I was pretty despondent and feeling kind of low about my life and who I am and all that kind of stuff. I don't know if you ever had those thoughts, but I was having them. And as soon as I thought that, and I asked God, I said, Lord, what do you really think about me? What do you really think of me? And the moment I asked that question, I found my eyes being diverted to a building on my left. Now in Japan, they drive on the other side of the road. So it was just right there. The building was right there. And there was a sign on the side of the building. It was a Coca-Cola sign. And at the top of the sign, it ran vertically down the building. But on the top, horizontally, it had four Japanese characters. Now in Japanese, they have different alphabets. One is called katakana, and they use that those characters for borrowed words, usually from English. So in this case, it said sumairu. Sumairu. So you have to try to figure out what it's saying sometimes, but it was pretty easy. That was an easy one. Smile. And then vertically coming down the side, it said, I heart emoji you. I love you. Now it sounds kind of kooky, and it probably is kooky, but I didn't take any time to double think it. It just impacted me. And since those two particular experiences, I've never had to have a third one. I know that God loves me for real. So that's my story.
To pick up on what you both said, Helen, you were in a season that was of struggle, and God met you there. And Peter, you invited, you asked, you were postured to receive. You needed that, and I love those unique ways of how the Holy Spirit meets us in our direct need in those moments. Wow. I'd be curious, is there a phrase or a word, it may be one of the seven statements, it may not be, and that's okay, that comes to mind as you've walked through life where you would say, God is this, or these are the words that come to mind that helps you appreciate and lean into your relationship? Let's start with, Helen went first last time, let's start with Peter. Yeah,
so the word that resonates the most with me at this time in my life, the phrase is the goodness of God, and particularly the type of goodness that I can put my trust in. And I want to say also that it's goodness in the context of suffering. So goodness in the midst of suffering. You know, I believe in a free will theodicy, which explains why, how God could possibly be good in this world of pain and suffering and trials. And, you know, so I'm satisfied with a free will. We're at war, we're in a war zone, and there's casualties, and yet I can still say that God is good because he's not a, in my opinion, not someone that's controlling. If you have free will because of a desire to have meaningful love, then you have to accept the fact that there's evil also, because free agents have the capacity to create a lot of harm. And so the word or the phrase God is good has become somewhat of a catch-all. You know, where someone might say, well, I got the all clear report from my oncologist, God is good. So we say that kind of stuff, sometimes substituting it for praise the Lord. But we have to also realize that if in a bad report, God is, because of his unchanging, the unchanging nature of his character, he's still good, right? And so there's a quote by Martin Luther. I'll just read it, and then I'll tell you a quick little story. His grace and goodness toward us is so immeasurably great that without great assaults and trials, it cannot be understood. So it's like we need to be going through something to really appreciate just how good he is. And, you know, in this room, there's lots of people suffering. And there's others that you're going to suffer. We all suffer at some point. Sorry for being the bearer of good news. But in my particular journey right now, I've been married for 41 years, and my wife has dementia. So for the last 3 years, she's lost all memory that I'm her husband. And it's been incredibly painful. We've had a great marriage. She's an amazing woman. I can't wait for you all to meet her in the New Jerusalem when you get to see the restored version of who she really is. But in the best way, the most succinct way I can give you to make sense of what I'm going through, and I'm not trying to, just so you know, I'm not trying to make you feel sorry for myself. I don't want that. Like, I'm just, I need to say this because it's part of the little talk that Mike put me up to here. But the best way I can describe it is it's like my wife passed away, and I live with someone who looks just like her. So it's a bizarre and surreal experience that I often can't wrap my head around, like, how is this happening? And the best thing I can say is, well, we don't get to pick our cross, and so I just have to walk this out. And in this ordeal, I can still say that God is good. And, you know, I'm not a superhero Christian. I honestly would prefer not to be suffering, but it's the way it is. So, you know, as I wrap this up, the question remains, like, so what is it that I'm trusting God for? I can't trust. If I had been trusting that He was going to give us a great marriage and we would die peacefully in each other's arms, that obviously didn't happen. So, you know, what do I do now? If I was thinking that way, what do I do? I would have been mistaken. And likely I would have been disappointed that God let me down because I was trusting Him for something, though, that He didn't promise to give me. God has not promised us a happy life. He's got something way better than that. And that's to discover the deep desire within us all to encounter Him and know who He really is. That's really what He's up to. So, you know, I couldn't trust Him for that, but what can I trust Him for? I can trust that nothing can separate me from the love of God. He will never leave me or forsake me. As I suffer, He's suffering with me. And so, you know, for me, it's a lot of, I've prepared myself for this trial for a long time, probably 18 years. I've been telling anyone who will listen that, you know, discipleship and knowing God happens via the doorway of trials and suffering. And so I've developed a mindset that I'm prepared for it as hard as it is, and as much as rather prefer that it not be happening, I'm prepared. And one scripture that, two scriptures, one that I often quote is, even if you kill me, God, I'm still going to trust you. And the second was Isaiah 26:3, which says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. And I just want to read a couple things I wrote down here just to wrap it up. So the goodness of God does not entail that we will not suffer or die in an early death. The goodness of God does assure us that he has provided us with something so amazing that even if we suffer or die, all earthly loss will pale in comparison. That's it.
Thanks, Peter, for sharing that. God is good. Helen, I'd be curious if you would share a moment, a word, or an image that comes to mind when you think of your journey, or what brings Jesus to the forefront for you.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think in the first service we talked about a word that would describe how God has been. It was a comforter. And I think now as an image, I'm thinking God is the vine, right? And we are the branches. So, yeah, my trust and hope is that I am abiding in God, that he's holding me close, and he prunes off those dead things in me that are not helpful to me or anybody else. And as Kirsten said last week, right, there's periods of dormancy. So, you know, my life has been good. I've had highs and lows since everything's happened, and God has kept his hand on me. He's growing me, and there's times when I've been stubborn, right? That sheep that won't listen and want to go my own way, and you have pride, and it's really hard to deal with pride sometimes. But God has put me in good community, and I've had great people. And I just feel like the winter is over, right? So there's spring, there's new life, and I'm just enjoying what God has for me.
That's
right now.
The ones that come to my mind, often pray with our kids, and it's a reminder for me, is the Lord is our good shepherd, our Savior, and our friend. And I think those three images come to mind for me. Thank you for sharing so real and authentically and in front of people we know and people we may not yet know. And so thank you for leading and guiding in that way. I wonder, as we close together, if we would stand. And Peter, I ask if you would pray a prayer. Maybe a welcome Holy Spirit as we all close this together.
So, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for, I thank you for today, and just a really good chance for Helen and I to both share a little bit of our stories. I pray that they would be impactful. I pray that you'd open our hearts and our minds and help us to explore the depths of who Jesus really is, Lord. As we've wrapped up this series, I pray that our focus in the coming days and weeks would be on Jesus, the true Jesus, and not maybe the false Jesus that we've been presented with all over the place. I thank you for this church, that it's such a beacon of light and truth, and just a safe place for people to come and meet Jesus. So I pray, Lord, that you go with us today. We do invite the Holy Spirit to come, rest on us, be with us, and never let us go, and reveal yourself to us in a powerful way. Amen.
Amen. Remain standing. Kirsten, why don't you come and give us some directions for the barbecue?
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. What a great invitation. I love the image of experiencing the lake. And I think that's a great question for us. Lord, what does it mean? What are you inviting me to experience in the coming days and weeks? And now we get to experience some life together. So the barbecue is ready and waiting for you. So all you need to do is head through the cemetery. We promise there's life on the other side. if you go through the cemetery and towards the back, you'll find Fort Langley Park. There is some parking there, but we would invite you to just walk. You can leave your car here. And it's going to be a great time together. We will see you there. In just a few minutes.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.